It is time, my friends, for Richard Krause. Each and every Friday, the most fun we can have in a segment. It's booze and reviews. How you doing, Richard?
Good, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. I like the fact that the weather seems to be turning the corner over the next coming week. So that makes me happy. We got the booze and the reviews. We usually start off with the booze, right? No, the reviews.
Yeah, we'll start with reviews, and then the drink is connected, so it'll all make sense in just a couple of minutes.
All right, so what, Richard Krause, is our first movie?
In the Adam Project, the new Ryan Reynolds sci-fi family drama now streaming on Netflix, time-traveling fighter pilot Adam Reed teams up with his 12-year-old self for a mission to save the future.
I'm wearing my dad's watch.
This watch?
That's classified, but yes,
I once was.
That was awesome.
I've seen the trailer for this. I think it looks pretty good, but it looks like 3.5?
Almost. Ryan Reynolds brings his trademark charisma and way with a joke to the movie, while the actor playing his younger self, a young guy called Walker Scobell, in his acting debut, is a natural foil. He's funny, charming, and holds his own against Reynolds, who is arguably one of the best scene stealers in movies today. They click, and because they do, the movie works, and that's why I gave The Adam Project, now streaming on Netflix, 3 out of 5 stars.
So that's it's direct to Netflix. It's not in the movie theaters for a couple of weeks and then on Netflix. It's Netflix.
I think they're kicking off March break with a big flashy movie with Ryan Reynolds, and I think Disney Plus is doing the same thing with the next movie we'll talk about.
All right, and that next movie, Richard, is
In Turning Red, a new Pixar film set in Toronto and now on Disney Plus, a 13-year-old girl navigates the line between dutiful daughter to her mother and her free-spirited nature. As if that were not enough, when she gets too excited, she turns into a big red panda.
This is gonna be the best year ever. Yeah. If nothing's gonna get in my way.
All right!
Is everything okay?
Gross red monster! Don't look at me! Stay back!
This happened already?
What did you say?
So this is the young woman who's from Toronto. The movie is set in Toronto, even though it's animated, but the movie's set in Toronto. You can see them get on the subway and streetcar and all that kind of stuff. Pixar usually doesn't miss, so I'm gonna say 3 stars.
Oh, you're just a little bit off here. Turning Red is more touching and more nuanced than you might expect from a film about a young girl who changes into a panda. But this is that movie. It's unafraid to be silly, serious, and heartfelt almost always at the same time. It's a lovely, insightful portrait of the chaos of being a kid and how respect, family, and friends can help smooth out the wild ride. This is a Pixar-worthy effort that can sit on the shelf next to classics like Up, Wall-E, and Toy Story, and that's why I gave Turning Red, now on Disney Plus, 4 out of 5 stars.
What a great story, a local story that is pretty fantastic. So is it her story as well? She co-directed it, but how involved? I mean, that's a big involvement, clearly, but how?
Oh, no, she directed it and co-wrote it.
Oh, co-wrote it as well?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty great. Good stuff for her. And the final movie, Richard, is
in After Yang, a new Colin Farrell sci-fi drama now playing in theaters, a father searches for a way to repair his daughter's malfunctioning android companion and learns about the importance of human connection.
Did Yang want to be human?
That's such a human thing to ask, isn't it?
Do you want him back?
Of course I do.
I want him back too. I just need a little more time.
That sounds pretty touching. I'm going to say 3.5 stars.
Boom, right on. After Yang is introspective science fiction that elegantly and subtly explores issues of existence, grief, love, and memory. The film's cold, detached exterior melts away as the running time clicks along, as the sci-fi aspects of the story become a study of relationships and why we connect with the people and objects that we do. And that's why I gave After Yang, now playing in theaters, 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Wow, all 3.5. So good crop this weekend.
Four for Turning Red.
You gave four. Sorry, what was I? I wasn't paying attention.
Turning Red is a 4-star movie.
All right, that's great. That is fantastic. Okay, Richard, what is the booze part of Booze and Reviews this weekend?
Okay, because I love Turning Red so much, and because it is unabashedly set in Toronto, when May, the main character, flashes her TTC card on the red rocket, you feel a little surge of Toronto pride when the climax of the movie happens at the Sky Dome. It's pretty great stuff. So I chose a drink called the Toronto. And, you know, Singapore's got its sling. There's a Long Island iced tea. There's a Cape Codder. Everybody knows about the Manhattan. But what about a drink called the Toronto? It's not one that you see on menus very often, but it's a dry, rich, and mildly bitter cocktail consisting of Canadian whiskey, Fernet Blanca, Angostura bitters, and a little bit of either sugar, simple syrup, or maple syrup, depending on how, patriotic you're feeling. But it is delicious. And the funny thing about it, though, it's called the Toronto, but it wasn't actually created in Toronto or even in Canada. The first time that this drink was mentioned was in 1922 in an edition of Cocktails, How to Mix Them, a book that was quite popular at the time. And it says here that this cocktail is much appreciated by the Canadians of Toronto. It was discovered and poured and created in a bar in London that for some reason a lot of Canadian expats went to, particularly a crew from Toronto that hung there and drank this drink, which is kind of like a Manhattan. It's got it sort of feels a little bit like that, but it's a little sweeter than that. And so the bartender said, well, we have to come up with a name for this. They created it on the spot and they called it the Toronto, after the customers from Toronto that used to drink this drink in England.
That's pretty cool. I love that story.
Yeah.
Are there any other, I hate to put you on the spot, but are there any other drinks that are named after places in Canada, or are
I'm sure there are. There's a couple of really Canadian cocktails, like the Caesar, obviously, is the brunch cocktail of Canada. And there's a drink from Dawson City called the Sour Toe, which is a mummified toe, an actual mummified toe that they put in a shot glass. And you have to drink it back, do the shot, and have the toe touch your lip. And if you do that, you're in the club. Those are the two kind of most Canadian of all drinks. But I'm sure that there's like a Manitoba Mead, or maybe there's a Saskatchewan sling or something out what there. But nothing people, comes in.
These people who put tomato juice or clamato juice in beer, is that Canadian or just weird?
That's a riff on a michelada, which is a Mexican drink that's delicious. And essentially, you use the same kind of spices in tomato juice that you would to make a Bloody Mary or something like that. And then you add beer to it. Get rid of the vodka, add beer to it, and it's really good. It's kind of thirst quenching, but still has like a little bite, a little spicy edge to it that people really like.
Richard, thank you very much. Always fun with Booze and Reviews to get a set for the weekend. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Richard Krause, Booze and Reviews every Saturday. That's you think I'd work Saturday? Of course I would. Every Friday right here on The Rush.